But you guys look great, though. You look like you're well nourished, well fed. I hope all of you are rejoicing. That's the subject today, is about rejoicing. I was telling Mr. Vaughn, it's just so hard to rejoice. It's how I'm eating that great big huge steak, just tender, cooked just right. All the fantastic fellowship that we have. I think Mr. Vaughn mentioned the other day about a family reunion. We're family. We who have God's Holy Spirit, we're all family. And we're children of God the Father and related to our elder brother Jesus Christ. Yes, the greatest family in the universe. We're only begotten now, but we're on our way to being born again. We've got a lot to rejoice about. We should rejoice. Does anyone remember what Luke 12, verse 32 says? You've never heard it before, have you? Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're getting a foretaste of the wonderful world tomorrow when God's kingdom is here on this earth. We're born again into it, and isn't it a great time? A great time. We probably, all of you have heard of my wife Debbie's dream a few years back. She sat up in the middle of the bed and said, "Did you see that? What?" She said, "Tony the Tiger just ran by," and said, "Great." And we're here to have a Tony the Tiger feast, a great feast, if we make it God's feast. This is God's Feast of Tabernacles. And God wants us to rejoice. It says there that like a one day with God is worth a thousand here below. God is the person, the being you want to be with if you want to have fun, if you want to have joy. I'll tell you, he knows how to live. And he wants us to have the abundant life. The father that I used to work for until his son took over the company, Joe, and one of his in-laws, he says, "I like to be with Joe." He says, "Joe knows how to have a good time." And we should want to be with God. We should want to be with him here at this feast because God knows how to have a good time. And there's no side effects, no bad side effects when you do it God's way. Yes, we are here to learn to fear God and to rejoice. Mr. Vaughn talked about fear God during his sermon yesterday. So let's turn over to Deuteronomy 14 and see where it tells us to rejoice. Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. Deuteronomy 14, let's start in verse 22. "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God, in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend the money for whatsoever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household." He wants us to rejoice. "You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part or inheritance with you." Yes, and other places point out that we are not to forget the widow or the fatherless, that we are to be a sharing, giving people. Mr. Armstrong's often talked about it's basically two ways, the way of get and the way of give. And whenever he would go before world rulers and kings and different individuals, he would break it down simple, the way of give, the way of give. And that's what we're doing. We're here at God's feast, and God's feasts are called love feasts. In the book of Jude, they're called love feast. And so that's the weekly Sabbath and the annual Sabbath. They're physical feasts, and they're also spiritual feasts. And I can already tell from the messages we've already received, some of you are kind of spiritually getting a little chubby. But don't cut back, though. It's okay. Yes, God is the greatest giver, and we can't outgive God. Yes, God gives us a whole tenth of our income. He sets it aside for us to come to learn to fear him and to rejoice. And that's what we're doing. we're being taught to share. Baby Charlotte, or I guess she's big girl Charlotte, she's 4 years old, she says that sharing is caring. And that's what we're doing, physically and spiritually. We're sharing and caring with each other and for each other. Yes, God wants us to be able to have this abundant life. And just like Mr. Armstrong was saying, the people thought that we were given such a fine example, but couldn't understand why we had this nutty religion. They couldn't understand that by obeying God's way of life, that it produces a good life. It produces joy. It produces holy, righteous character, following God, imitating God the Father and Jesus Christ. They should be able to see His light reflected in us or shining out through us through the oil of His Holy Spirit. Yes, we are to fear God and keep His commandments. He wants us to be a holy people. He wants us to be a happy people. Turn over to Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. Mr. Vaughn talked a lot about this. This was the sermon yesterday. Deuteronomy 5. And let's look at verse 29. Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So notice that God wants us to have a heart like His heart. Remember King David. He said that King David was a man after God's own heart. Because he was a man, even though at times he sinned horribly, he was willing to repent, to change, to become like God. Notice that God wants us to have that fear. And what is the fear? He says here, to keep all my commandments. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yes? And notice why He wants that. Because He wants it to be well with us. He wants us to have a great life. A wonderful life. Now, physically, it may not always be wonderful. But if we're living it God's way, we have a vision. We have a future that we're looking forward to. And we can rejoice that the things that we're going through may be tough at times. But God says that all things will work together for our good. If we love Him. If we serve Him. That lemon juice that we have right now, some of you might like to drink it plain, but others, though, they want to make it into lemonade. God will eventually turn it into lemonade for us. Or if life gives you limes, God may just really bless you and give you a margarita. But we're here to have that abundant life, that abundant joy. Let's turn over to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. Nehemiah 8. Here's a group of God's people that came back from captivity, back to Palestine, back to Jerusalem, and they realized that they had gotten off track. And the ministry of that day wanted to put them back on track. And how they did that, they pointed to God's word, to God's law, to God's Sabbath, weekly and annual. Weekly and annual. Mr. Armstrong has pointed out that any nation that has forgotten God's Sabbath and God's laws will not last. In order to last, we have to keep God's Sabbath days. And it says here, and we've already gone through the seventh month, the first day in verse 2, but there they were. They found out about these holy days and that they need to keep them. And so what they did in verse 3, it says they read from it the book of the law. The book of the law. They read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. So their services were a little longer right then than ours are. Before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. So here they were standing, teaching out of the Bible just like we do each day, explaining it, reminding us of God's wonderful truths. Verse 8, or let's look at the very end of verse 7, about the last couple lines. It said that these speakers helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense. and help them to understand the reading. And he tells them in the middle of verse 9, do not mourn nor weep. They had found out that all these horrible things came upon them because they had forsaken God. But now they were drawing back to God's Sabbaths and laws. And he says, do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They knew they had fallen short of God's holy righteous standard. Verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. And that's what you and I do when we gather each day. We understand the words of God. And we rejoice because God has opened our eyes to see the truth. I'll tell you, it's a fantastic time to be able to do all the physical things that we get to do at the beach. We may go on a sunset cruise. Or we might like have baby Charlotte take us to Dave and Buster's game room yesterday. And she had a ball. She had an enjoyable time. Whatever we enjoy, the fine food, the drink, and the fellowship. That is such a wonderful thing to have fellowship with God's people. Because so many of us, the only fellowship we have is through the internet. And that's a wonderful thing when it works. But it's so much better when we're here in person with each other. So this is a time of rejoicing, eating and drinking and sharing. And that's what we do. Sometimes if we aren't careful, we'll get carnal. I'm not wondering who's going to get the check. Who's going to pay for it? So we share with one another. It's a wonderful event. But the big thing is, though, it's the spiritual food. The spiritual food. Let's look over at Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke 10. There's something that we should really rejoice in, even beyond the physical blessings that God is bestowing on us here at this feast. And that's Luke 10. And let's look at verse 20. The apostles had been sent out. The disciples had been sent out to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. And they come back rejoicing because of the great works that God had done through their hands. And he tells them in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You see, your name is written in heaven. And God won't forget where he's got that book, where your name is written. I'll tell you, that is priceless to know that we're waiting on the kingdom of God. Yes, God is looking to see during this feast which kingdom you and I are seeking. I think I know which kingdom we're seeking by talking to you, that we're trying to seek his spiritual kingdom. Let's look over in Malachi, the 3rd chapter. This should be an easy one to find, the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. Over in Malachi 3, there was people who got together, who fellowshiped. And it says in chapter 3, verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. God is listening to you and me, little flock, as we talk to one another. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Yes, what's on our mind? He's seeing what's on our mind and what's coming out of our mouth. He says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Yes, we can bank on it. God is listening. God is watching over us. He's hearing. He's looking forward to and rejoicing when Jesus Christ comes back and brings salvation, when we're born again into the kingdom of God, when we're at last born again children. Now we are only begotten, but one day we will be born again. I'm not going to turn there, but we often like to look at Psalm 133, where it talks about how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that is what this feast has been. And I'm sure it's going to continue that way all the way to the end. One of unity, of at-one-ment with God. And the more we're at one with God, the more we'll be at one with each other. Yes? We've gotten to have a fantastic time of unity and peace and fellowship and love. And while we're here, holy, righteous character is being developed. We're learning that we have to have the fear of the Lord and how to do it. Yes, we are His family. Like I said, this is, and like Mr. Vaughn said, kind of like a family reunion. Notice over in Ephesians, the third chapter, Ephesians 3. And in verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, the church of God, the family of God, the children of God. Dear little flock, it is about the time to close this. I'm just getting started. There's so much that we can talk about, and so much we will talk about during this feast. But we're here, and one of the reasons, like I said, is to fear God and to rejoice. And we're also here to give a revelatory vision that Mr. Vaughn also talked about yesterday. So for our closing and last scripture, let's turn over to Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Let's turn over to Proverbs, the 29th chapter. Let's look at verse 25. The fear of man brings... Let me see here. Oh, excuse me, it's verse 18 of chapter 29. Where there is no revelation or prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Follow God with all of your heart and rejoice during this feast.